Welcome back to another episode of Straight to the Point. And today I'm joined again. He's making his return. Bearing in mind, to be fair, he is like the definition of straight to the point, the amount of abuse that I get day to day. Mr. Nicholas Jones, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, mate. I'm great. Thanks. How are you doing?
Really good. Thank you, mate. Not too bad at all. Not too bad. I thought I'd invite you on to have a conversation with me around the stuff that we do, social sellings, and go through some questions to get your views on things. Bearing in mind your experience in business, what you've done, I think probably going to be better coming from you than it is me in terms of this, because I know we share some similar opinions, but also probably some stuff that we might disagree on as well. But in terms of the context, just for everyone else, we run an academy behind the scenes. We have over 160 odd members inside, and we seem to get asked the same questions over and over again. And I thought, do you know what? Rather than keeping everything top secret inside there, let's record and give everyone the answers that we're thinking. So the real focus point for this episode is going to be around what's working on social right now, predominantly LinkedIn as the platform that we're really focusing on, and then what isn't, but then diving a little bit deeper into why it isn't working. So I see lots of people going surface level on all this stuff. And what I want to do is go beneath that barrier and start giving people the real context and information as to why they may not be seeing the results they feel like they deserve. So, Nick, if it's okay, I'd like to start with, bearing in mind, before we met, you were a bit of a social media dinosaur, I think it was quite fair to say. What's your experience been of social, coming from someone that was very, very successful in business without using it, and now moving into this digital world with Pipeline 44 and what we're doing?
Okay, so I think social, as you said, social to me was a complete sort of unknown when I came to start the Pipeline 44 group with you and with Sam, and I just thought it was a CV platform at the time. Obviously, my opinions and my experience has changed greatly since then. And to be honest, I think social is a bit of a minefield. It's one of these things that if you use it really well, it's a fantastically powerful tool for really obvious reasons. How else can you connect for free with millions and millions of people around the world from your chair behind your desk? And how else can you put content in front of those people? And more importantly, people who are directly in your target market, that there is no other way of doing it. Maybe on the telly, maybe, but even that, it's not targeted. It's very random. It's very expensive. We used to have to pay people to get on airplanes and fly around the world to meet the people that we wanted to work with. It was extremely expensive and very time consuming. We could do the same work today in minutes from behind our desk. So it's obviously very powerful, but it's also a great big distraction. And I mean that in a positive way. But if people who are trying to start and build their businesses are using social incorrectly, it can suck up a lot of their time and not deliver results, which is obviously something that everybody wants to avoid.
I think with your, I mean, how long has it been since you really started using it properly?
About 6 months. I mean, you know, I've been dabbling with it for a while.
Before though, didn't you? Because you sat Sam's masterclass, remember you telling me this story, and you saw some success quite quickly. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, what was that like? What was that process? What was the thing that you did?
So, I just got active on the platform. But what I did following that masterclass was be really targeted. I was really specific, really targeted. I had a very specific consulting service to provide to maybe 10 people in the world. What the platform allowed me to do was connect with them directly and start those conversations. I would say that's not necessarily totally representative of what we teach people as social selling now, because I already knew who they were and I went after them with a very specific message. That said, of course, it's a very powerful platform if you already know who you want to target and you want to do that. Through the last 3 or 4 years, I've kind of dabbled with it. I've let you guys do the heavy lifting when it comes to social, and you've been very successful and very consistent, and the results speak for themselves. But in the last 6 months, I've picked up my content game, and that's something that I've never really done before. So the last 6 months, I've been posting fairly regularly. I don't specifically have a product or service to sell. You guys do that, and the team does that. But off the back of that activity, I have been receiving an awful lot of interest in what we do and in various other businesses as well. So yeah, big step change in how I've been approaching platforms.
I think content's an interesting one. For those people that have subscribed to the channel, they would have seen the video that went out, and it was based around I previously, if you'd have asked me this question like 12 months ago, I would have been like, solely post content on your niche and on your industry, be really rigid. And I've actually had a bit of a change of heart on that recently, especially over the last couple of months of being so rigid and so focused in on just talking about what you do. And the reason being is because of the stuff that I went into a lot more detail on in that video, but it's because people don't relate to rigid and boring information anymore. Whether they did prior, I don't actually know too much. It was just the stuff that made sense to me at the time. But now I'm talking a lot more around my views on the world, like mental health, all the stuff that other people like really relate to. And what I've seen, not in terms of like huge amounts of influxes of inbound leads, that's kind of stayed steady. But my impressions and the way that attention's being driven to my profile, I'm generating a bigger audience that are relevant to what I do. And then it's driving more action and more conversation behind the scenes as people go further on down that funnel, that sales process. I don't know what your thoughts are on content, because I know you've done some stuff recently around maybe borderline controversial, strong opinionated stuff. Has that been something that you've deliberately done, or is it something that you just thought, you know what, I don't really know what else to do, I'm just going to put that out there? What's been the kind of angle that you've taken with it?
Well, no, it's quite deliberate, but it's not deliberately controversial. You know what, Chris, I'm just being me and I have some quite strong opinions. And I think that's the point. And what I've noticed with content that I've put out and the reactions that I've had, but also the content that I see that piques my interest, it's usually people just being themselves and speaking their minds. You know, as you said, a year or two ago, we would have talked about being really specific, almost contrived when it comes to content, and writing in a really niche, really focused way. And that's fine if you have an opinion that is relevant to your target market, or you have something to say genuinely that you want to say to people. But I find that kind of content generally is a little bit fake. It's a little bit bland, uninteresting, fake, and almost designed. Whereas content that I'm writing at the moment is just my opinion. I wake up in the morning and I see something. I wrote an article this morning that I haven't put out yet, for example, on time. I came to my desk having done a run this morning and I saw somebody moaning about time. And it's the biggest excuse in the world. And it really annoys me that people always whinge about not having enough time. So I wrote something about it. And that will be relevant to everybody, our target market particularly, but everybody, no matter who they are or where they are. So I think it's all about being yourself. And I notice you've done the same thing, Chris, with your content. It's you and your opinion, and you kind of speak from the moment almost.
Yeah, I used to struggle talking about the stuff that I believed in purely because I didn't really believe in much. And I know that sounds quite odd, but I stopped watching the news. Like, I turned everything off. I was consuming social media content, but mainly the same thing over and over again. It was like, you always laugh at me for this, but like the motivational, the inspirational type stuff. That was kind of all the stuff that I did. So I found myself quite disconnected from everything else that was going on. And therefore my views on world topics didn't exist because I wasn't really looking into anything. And I, you know what I'm like, I spent hours and hours researching this stuff. And I just noticed that the stuff that was at the top of my newsfeed that was performing the best with lots of reactions, lots of comments, followers and audience numbers growing was the stuff that people all relate to and talk about. And I just think that sometimes that gets overlooked and people are a little bit worried about putting their views out there. And I mean, you don't have to, I guess, go like, I'm not that controversial. I speak my opinion, but actually it's very much filtered in what I say. I just put enough out there to get some interaction really. And if no one engages with it, I don't really care. I'm just treating it as like my own place to talk about the stuff that I care about. And from that, I'm seeing some pretty decent results from it. But I mean, for someone that wasn't sharing their opinion online to now going out there and sharing it, was it something that you found difficult to do? Or is it something that you've kind of just naturally been able to do? Because I know there's just lots of people that do find it difficult to be themselves online. They do find it tough.
Yeah, it's really hard. I think I still find it quite hard, although it's getting easier now. I got really strong opinions on lots of stuff, particularly around business and startups and small businesses. You know, I've started a lot of companies and I get really frustrated at the misinformation that is spread on these platforms and in these spaces. And it really winds me up. But I was always, I would say, slightly afraid of sharing that opinion. Mm. I don't know why. Maybe a bit of imposter syndrome. Maybe worried that I'll get backlash. But you know what? I made myself do it. Actually, it was with your help. We sat down and we had a good chat, didn't we, 6 months or so ago. And you gave me a hard time. And I've started to put that opinion out there. And I think I've found my groove now. So it's taken a little bit of time to get used to sharing that opinion. But actually, I do get backlash. I get quite a lot of backlash. And that's okay, because I want everybody's opinions. If we're going to be cynical about it, the backlash is going to get me more impressions and get me more clicks and comments. That's fine. So it's going to spread my content further. But that's not the main reason. The main reason is because I don't think about my content as individual pieces of content. I think about it as a mix, as a whole. And what I'm doing by putting out all of this content is just showing the world little pieces of me on my journey and my ideas and my thoughts. And not everybody's going to like that, but some people will relate to it. Some people might not like it, but might find it useful. Some people might find it inspiring. And that's okay, because I'm not trying to work with everybody in the world. I'm only trying to work with the people who actually we can genuinely help and who relate to the way that we think and the way that we do business. And so by putting out all of these different pieces of content, I'm building that picture. And I think, naturally is leading to what people need to do if they're doing lots of things but not getting results. And you've touched on it already, right? And that fear of not being you on a platform generally means that you're public profile, not just your LinkedIn profile, but that your persona, if you like, online is really bland and really boring. you're the expert on this stuff, but one of the things that we notice with the people that we work with all the time, right, is that those people who are doing everything right and ticking the boxes in terms of posting regularly and leaving a few comments and being online but not getting results, they're generally just bland online. When you speak to them, they're really interesting people. They've got great stories. They've, probably got fantastic products and services to sell. It's all great, but none of that comes across. Breaking down that barrier for me, stepping from essentially probably a fairly manila kind of profile to those opinions and to that content made a massive difference. I'm getting inbound leads almost every day. I'm not even asking for them. I'm not directly selling anything, but it's just happening.
I think it's interesting. Like, I was speaking to a lady just this morning. We had the conversation beforehand, right? And I just exchanged a couple of messages. We literally connected this morning, right? So it wasn't like we've had an in-depth conversation. We'll have that next week, I'm sure. But I was looking at her headline, looking at her profile, and I couldn't really distinguish what she did specifically. And I think that's something that lots of people find, is that they're not 100% clear on really who they are and what they're about and what they're there to do. That's the thing. They can't clearly communicate that fully. So that was one element. So I asked her a couple of questions, and these questions are something that we ask everybody. And it really hit, a sweet spot with her in terms of why does she do what she does? Like, what's the whole point of it? What's led her to the point where she's like, this is now what I'm going to throw my life into doing. And it's around mindsets. Like, she's been through an incredible journey if you listen and read what she's written. And I'm like, where is this person? Like, if you literally just take what you've put, you can actually now copy and paste what you've sent me and put that out there. That would be your most top performing post that you've done ever, because it's like showcasing who you are. And people like to see that passion. They like to see that fire. They like to see that real version of you. And I think you're 100% right. It's having the ability and almost the courage and the confidence to do that without worrying about what may happen as a consequence. Because I used to really get fearful and scared, actually, of hate and trolls. And ironically, my best performing post, not just from an impressions point of view, like in terms of how many people see it, but also in terms of the amount of support and then messages that I receive off the back end of it, have been the ones where someone said a pop at me. I'm not saying anything horrible, just disagreeing with my sentiment, with what I've put out there. And I'm just, you don't have to go all out there and bare all, but just take little baby steps to just revealing who you are. Because I think the biggest thing that I've noticed is that there are so many coaches, there are so many agency owners, there are so many people doing what you do out there. It's very rare that we find something that's totally unique right now. So actually, the service and the product that you provide isn't the thing that's going to stand out and make the biggest difference. It's who you are and how you make people feel enough so they remember you. And at the point, like we talk about with social selling, Sam always talks about it being like a marathon and not a sprint, doesn't she? And it's like the realistic nature of it is people don't want what you sell right from the outset. They may need it 30 days, 90 days, even 2.5 years later on down the line. But if you're not the person that they remember at the point that they realize they've got that problem and they want to solve it, then someone else will be and they'll get it. And I think that's the game that we're playing here, isn't it? It's understanding that as a concept.
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many examples of this stuff. It's what you always say, Chris, you've got to give somebody a reason to care. And you know, for anybody actually looking at their own profile, looking at their own sort of collateral or marketing process materials, I think the best question to ask of every single piece of it is, so what? You know, from the point of view of the customer, so what? Who cares? As you said, this platform, you know, the downside of the platform is it's flooded with hundreds of thousands of people selling the same thing that you do. Almost inevitably, like you said, there are very few unique products in the world. But that doesn't mean that there's so much competition that you'll never do any business. As you said, it's a horrible cliche, but people buy from people. And if they relate to you and you also can solve their problem, then you're up for a good start. The problem is people are not relatable and they don't give anybody the answer to the question, so what? We had another example the other day. You probably remember it was a gentleman who wanted to give a free copy of a book as a download, as a lead magnet. And it's great. I'm sure the book's brilliant. I've not read it. But there are thousands of other books on the same subject out there. And when you clicked on the lead magnet for the download, there was no compelling reason at all to download the book. So the question that we asked of him was well, why? Why should anybody want to click it and want to give you their information and download that book? So it's that element that I think is missing, that personal, relatable story type element. The post that set the scene, the context, and give people that reason, or even just the feeling, not even the reason, just the feeling that, you know what, I will go and download that, I will go and click on it, I will send that person a message because they seem all right, or because I agree with them, some sort of relatability.
Yeah, people relate to people that are like themselves is what I've always thought about online, and I'm never going to please everyone with it, but like you say, with the lead magnet opportunity there, it's the context that most people lack. I think that is such a key word, like the reason why is this all here? Why, what is the point of it all? Because we almost, and again, I've felt like this when I created about 3 or 4 different lead magnets before the one that's really done well, which is the content guide, right? Before that, I did 3 or 4 others. And I'll be honest, like I felt like this almost feeling of entitlement that because I put some time into creating something,
right,
the people are just going to download it. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And I can put it anywhere. I can put it on the website. I can put it on my profile. I can send it in messages. But the problem is, unless it's something that people really want and something that people need, unfortunately, they just don't care. And therefore, they're not going to give you any dignity of a response. They're just going to ignore you. And I think this is where people, and we spend lots of time having conversations around this stuff, with also products and services are the same thing. It's not just lead magnets here. It's everything. But like when you're putting time and effort into it, always, I try to do it anyway, put myself into that customer's shoes, the person that wants it, and goes like, right, do they actually need this? Or am I just making something up for the sake of making something up because I need to tick a box because someone's told me that I need to have one on my website? Or is it something that is really fundamentally key to solving a problem that this person's got? And if it is, what are those reasons? And wherever you're positioning the product, the service, the lead magnet, tell them, like actually explain it.
I'm willing to bet that actually most of the people who do download your content guide, for example, don't do it cold. I'm willing to bet that majority of them have read your content and know who you are. So you set that context. I don't know what the numbers are, actually. You tell me. But I'm guessing that the majority of them have been part of your ecosystem in some way before they go to downloading that tool. So they already know who you are. They already relate to the problems you're talking about, and you have credibility because you talk sense when it comes to, in this case, content. So downloading that guide, which is a tool that they can take away and use, is a natural next step, and it makes lots of sense in that journey. And I think, you know, the wider point that you made here is that people generally, when they're creating these things, they it's almost done for the sake of it and not as part of a process in business. And I think in when we're thinking about business and we're thinking about marketing, nothing is standalone and nothing can be treated as standalone. It's a mentality that we see a lot, and it gets taught a lot, actually. We see it in startups, small business, but we see it in the corporate world as well. It's that fire and forget mentality. Well, I need to do that, so I'll do it. I'll tick the box, and then I'll focus on all the other things that I'm really busy with. That approach is never going to work, because all of these initiatives, all of these tools, these promotional tools and materials, the platforms, everything, they won't work in isolation, because people go on a journey with you, and they go on that journey with multiple touch points. And it's up to you to present those touch points to them. For us, for example, we have lots of different processes mapped out for lots of different parts of our business, but that we don't solely rely on, oh, I've put a post up or I've put a lead magnet out, let's sit back and wait. We drive people to it. We set context, we gain credibility, we collect information, we push people from one step to another. And then we present them with things that will make them interested or what make them want to move further along the process or simply put the pipeline in our business. I think that's possibly one of the biggest challenges that I see with all of our customers. And I know that you've spent a lot of time consulting with people that we work with on this topic, on the subject of process, on the subject of using LinkedIn, using content, using messaging, using email, using all of these different tools in the context of a wider plan or process or set of touch points with a customer. And if people would just realize that ticking a box and putting something out is actually just going to cost them time rather than actually deliver results, you know, they can make an informed decision then about either doing it properly or just not doing it at all and doing something else. But yeah, that's one of the big ones at the moment.
I think, like I say, I think people need to realize how much work it is. And I mean, I don't mean to push people away and turn people off with all of this stuff, right? But people make this stuff. And I fell into this trap when I first started getting involved within this social media world back when I had my initial business. And I just thought, like, that if I just put some content out there, people would then remember who I am and naturally they'll then inquire. And the thing with it, what I didn't realize is that there was about 250,000 versions of me out there that were doing the exact same thing. And business now, in my opinion, again, you might disagree, you may agree, but it's getting harder, especially with the way the world's going at the moment. Like, all of the people that are in that I speak to that are in sales are finding it difficult to get people to make buying decisions right now. It's getting tougher, so we need to work harder with it. And I was speaking with this one lady. She won't mind me bringing her up, actually, because I've spoken about it before, but she has a lead magnet, right? She has a free download that she puts out there. And once people have downloaded that lead magnet, they go straight to a sales page to buy a VIP day. And I look at it and I go, well, the VIP day is $3,000, right? It's not a cheap purchase, right? It's not a low ticket offer. It's a middle ticket type offer. Would you, and I asked her the question, like, would you go if you had no idea who you were and you downloaded this lead magnet and then you appeared on this sales page, which could be the best sales page in the bloody world, would you drop $3,000? And you could just see the eyes is like, oh, actually, that's a good point. It's like, cool. Well, what would it take you to get to a point where you would spend £3,000 with someone and actually be happy about doing so without having to speak or whatever? What's that process look like? And then we spent about half an hour back and forth. Well, it was actually be, well, I probably need a series of videos or I'd need something where I could see that this person can clearly do what they're selling to me at the end with this VIP. Okay, great. We'll map that out. Well, it was video here. It's a video there. Okay, great. What do those videos need to have in them? Because it's not about just putting a piece of content out there. What are you going to talk about that gives compelling reasons as to why? Then it's emails. And it's like with a confirmation email, not to go into the nitty gritty too much, but I've probably written about 15 different versions of our confirmation email once someone's downloaded that lead magnet. Like, it's not just one template that's worked. I've had to change it. I've had to look at the statistics of what converts and what doesn't. And it's like this stuff, even one specific process from a content guide to a social selling academy sale, it's hours of work that's gone into it to not even perfect that process, just to get it working to its 50% of its potential. And yeah, I think this yeah. is the outlook that we need, right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. It is a lot of work. I'm not sure business is necessarily getting harder. I think the landscape is changing, you know, and it's yeah. one of the perhaps the downsides of the platform. So everybody now has access to my customers, and my customers have access to everybody. So it's not that it's necessarily harder. You know, it used to be difficult just to get access to people. You had to get on airplanes. You had to know who they were. You had to find them and phone them and do all those other things. That's all been made very easy now. But because it's so easy, there's a lot more noise. And the job now is to cut through the noise, right? And to get that, to do that well, and to fine tune it, as you said, it takes a lot of time. Back to the video I recorded this morning about I haven't got the time for this. Well, this stuff takes work. I mean, you said hours. You've spent days and weeks working on the processes for our business behind the scenes. And they're mapped in great detail. And what I found fascinating was the amount of time that you spend tweaking the numbers for each individual step. And there are probably, if I think about our online workshop process, driving people to online workshop, using lead magnets, you know, you use a whole array of tools to do that. There are probably 50 steps in that process diagram. And you've looked at the numbers and the conversion numbers for every single one of them, and you've analyzed them and you've tweaked them. In some cases, that tweaking's maybe gained us 1%. But actually, that 1% across 50 steps means another 4 sales or another 10 sales or another 20 sales every month. And not just random sales. It's not about, you know, tweaking it to maximize volume at any cost. They're actually people who buy, come in and benefit. They're the right people. It's a great example of this, what we're talking about, really working, isn't it? But it is hard work. And I think sometimes perhaps social media and LinkedIn, people think, well, that's an easy way of getting business. I'll just go on and I'll create a profile and I'll write a couple of posts, job done, and then I'll wait and see what happens. But in all cases, they're the ones that are disappointed. I think the big message has to be, if you want to do this and you want it to work for you, you've got to block out hours and hours and hours of time to make it work. There's no shortcut.
I mean, on that note, Nick, to be fair, like, I always like to round these up with like a big piece of advice that we could give to try and make a difference here, right? I mean, if you could give one piece of big advice to someone that maybe using these platforms but is struggling, what would that advice be?
I think it has to be, and it's not just about these platforms, it's general, right? It's get out of your own way. You know, a lot of the things we've talked about today have been all about the way people think about social media and these platforms, and think about business more widely, not just the platforms. Recognize that, as you said earlier, nobody has the right. You have to earn the right for your customers to engage with you and to buy from you. You have to earn it, and that is difficult. So get out of your own way, think as if you are one of your customers, and work really hard to take your customers on a journey to whatever conclusion you're trying to achieve.
Perfect. Ending note, I think there, sir. Great work. We're going to do a few more of these, aren't we? A few different
things. I think so. We've
only covered about 2 of the 8 points that we had written down, so we'll have to do a few more.
There's a lot to talk about.
But no, I hope everyone's found it valuable. Like I say, if you have any questions that you want to ask us for us to be able to go through, just put them in the comments section below. And we're going to be doing these once a week, so we're going to be very, very frequent with coming out here and just talking to you about the stuff that we're trialing, we're seeing that's what's working, and more importantly, what isn't. As you know, straight to the point, it's all about giving you the hard-hitting advice that other people may not want to tell you. We're not going to give you the fluffy stuff. We're going to give you the stuff that you need to hear, not that you want to hear. Nick, thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, mate.